Hi, I'm Ben. Today we're going to talk about SSH, FTP, and SFTP. These are technologies that will be very helpful as we get further into the class and begin work on final projects. We're going to begin by talking about SSH and demoing it on both a Mac and a PC. After that, we'll move on to SFTP and FTP and demo those using a program available on both PC and Mac. SSH stands for Secure Shell, although at first, that might not give you much information as to its purpose. By the first part of its name, we can assume it's secure, and we might not have called it this in lecture, but we've seen a shell when Tommy uses the terminal application. So a shell is simply an interface through which you can type in and execute commands. Mac, as we've seen, has the terminal, and Windows has something similar called the command prompt. However, the Windows command prompt has a different set of commands from the shells used on Macs and Linux machines, so do be wary of that if you're trying to follow along with lecture or section content at home. All right, back to SSH. So we've decided it's related to securely doing something on or to or from a shell. And it turns out that it allows us to access the shell of another machine remotely from our shell. Or to give a definition without the word shell in it an obnoxious number of times, SSH allows us to access the files and directories on a remote machine from our machine with this command line interface. So as an example of when we might use this, think back to our section video on buying a domain name, in which we mentioned that buying a domain name is separate from the process of actually hosting a website at that domain. We can now understand a little bit more about the web hosting process. I can buy space on some server, and the files that we put on that machine are what are actually displayed when we access the domain name. And to access or change the files on that machine, we can use SSH. Before we begin with SSH, I'd like to provide a quick introduction to terminal commands for those of you who may not have used them or seen them before. The first one we'll look at is just called ls. Ls is like opening up some folder on our computer and looking at what files and folders are inside of it. So it just displays all the files and folders within our current directory. So we see things like the desktop downloads Dropbox folders, and some files like crimping.txt and homewifi.txt, which, as you might guess, were used for previous section videos. So you can see that ls just displayed some folders and files on my computer. Then we have another command known as cd. So cd stands for change directory, and it allows us to change into a new directory. And unlike ls, the normal use case of cd is with an argument. In this case, an argument just provides a little more information to the cd command. In this case, the name of the directory we want to change into. So if we type cd followed by an argument, in this case the name of a directory, let's say documents, so cd documents, then we have changed into the documents directory. We can verify this by typing ls, which now displays the context, the contents of the directory we just changed into. Let's return to the command we were originally talking about, ssh. SSH also takes an argument, in this case, the name or IP address of the machine we want to connect to. So if I wanted to connect to my website, I could type in SSH and then my username, followed by the at symbol, followed by my website or IP address. So if I do SSH and then my username, which is ben0611 at benshryock.com, we see some magic happening. This is just saying I haven't connected from this machine before, so I'm going to say yes, I trust it, and I'll enter my password. And now we see a little information. Last login was on Tuesday, April 2 from some certain IP address, and we see again our command prompt. So you might not believe that we're actually on the web server, not just my machine, but let's use the command that we just learned to try to show you that we are. So if we use ls, we see new folders. We're no longer in documents. We're now seeing things like data, error logs, HTML. So you'll have to maybe trust me on this, but if we enter the HTML directory with the cd command, cd HTML, and then type in ls, we can see an HTML includes and templates folder, which do make up the content of my website. To make this a little more concrete for those who might not be believing me still, we can open up a file in templates using a program called Vim, which is just a text editor. So we'll say Vim templates, and we can see some various files, and we're going to open up one that just displays the home page. And if I enter in some content, such as H1, a giant piece of text. Hi from CSE1. And then close my H1 tag. And if I pull up my website, we'll see that the change I just made, because I made it to the actual server machine, will appear on the page. So now I'll open up Google Chrome, type in benschreiach.com, and we'll see that in addition to sort of my regular strange interface, we see hi from CSE1 right in the top left corner. So we can see that SSH allows us to change, view, and edit files on a remote machine. Now let's take a look at how to use SSH on Windows. There isn't a great program built into Windows as there is on Mac, so we're going to download something to make SSH a little easier. And as always, there are many options we could use, but today we'll look at a program called PuTTY. And I actually just downloaded PuTTY. It's sort of a cross between a full point-and-click interface and the terminal interface that we were just using. So here we have PuTTY. I just opened it up. And we see a login screen. It looks like we have, if we zoom in on a little bit, a field for a host name, and then a lot more information, although really all we need now is this host name field. So we're going to type in sort of the same information we just typed into the command line, but in a different format. So if we connect to benschreiach.com and click open, now we're going to zoom back out, and we see sort of this same message again, that you haven't connected to benschreiach.com from this computer. But again, I'll click yes because I trust my own website. And now we see an interface a lot like that of terminals. So we're prompted to log in as, say, my username, Ben0611. And again, typing in the password. And we see this same bash terminal. We see the command prompt, and we can execute sort of some of the same commands that we were just doing from the Mac. So if I type ls here, we see the same folders, data, error, logs, and if we cd into HTML, we can see, and click ls, those same three folders that I talked about, HTML, includes, and templates. And furthermore, if we open up that same file we were just in, templates/chalkdisplay, what a great name, we see hi from CSE1. Now, I'm not as friendly when I'm working on my Windows machine, so I'm just going to go ahead and add a little something that says, oh, I don't know, H2, buy from me CSE1. So rest assured that if I open up my browser, take us to benschreiach.com, and refresh, we see buy from CSE1. So again, on either Windows or Mac, we can use SSH to change files on a remote server. And since we now understand SSH, let's move on to FTP and SFTP. FTP stands for File Transfer Protocol. This name is a little more illuminating than SSH was, because it seems like it might be a protocol we can use to transfer files from our local machine to a remote machine. SFTP is sometimes thought to stand for Secure FTP, because it is a secure method of transferring files. However, the S actually stands for SSH. SFTP uses Secure Shell as the means of securely transferring files. But where SSH itself allows us full access to another machine to open and edit files and explore directories and do more things, FTP and SFTP were created with the sole intention of transferring files. Now, we could use the FTP command from our terminal, like we did with SSH, but to provide you with something a little more user-friendly, let's take a look at a downloadable FTP application. So instead of having to type at the command line, the program is going to give us a GUI to work with. And a GUI, sometimes pronounced GUI, is just a graphical user interface. It abstracts away the physical typing of the commands and lets us interact with some service, in this case FTP, in a simpler, cleaner manner. So the FTP application that we're going to use is called FileZilla. It's available on both Windows and Mac, and as of last night, the basic interface is exactly the same on both. So although we're going to continue working on a PC for the rest of the video, rest assured that these same steps would work equally well on a Mac. Let's begin in a similar manner to when we were using SSH. We'll say that I again want to connect to my website, but instead of just poking around on the files, maybe I want to upload a new one. Say, some file that I have on my local machine, but not on my remote machine. and this can be easily done using our FTP application. So let's pull up FileZilla and poke around the interface. So if we pull up our friendly magnifying glass and look around, we see over on the left here a local site or a local machine and all of our files and folders listed. If we scroll over to the right, we see the remote site. And if we were connected to a server, we would see its files and directories displayed here. To connect, we can head up to the top where we see several text boxes with similar things like a host, a username, and a password. So the same things we were inputting on a terminal, we now have a nice friendly user interface for. So if we type in our host, again, benshryock.com, and our username, ben0611, and our password, TommyMacWilliam, and press quick connect, we see some text fly by and a directory listing successful. So if we scroll over to our remote site, we see again that those files are now displayed. We see the same folders, HTML, templates, and includes. But instead of being able to open one up and edit, we can go to our computer and upload something to that remote machine or download something from the remote machine to our computer. So if we want to add a file to the website, it's as simple as finding it on my computer and double-clicking. So right now we can see the path I'm in my documents folder, and we have this file called ilovecse1.txt. And I can upload this either by just double-clicking, and if we zoom out, when we double-click, we see the file appear on our remote machine, I love computer science E1. Or we could right-click and have just a few more options for either uploading or editing the file locally with like renaming it or opening it or editing. Or we can add it to a queue of files with this Add Files to Queue button to upload it at a later time. Another button I have often found helpful when using this program is the refresh button that we see in the toolbar across the top. So this button is what refreshes the list of files that we see on the left side of our screen. And it's quite useful if we've created a new file once we've already opened FileZilla. So if we press refresh and if anything had changed, those changes would be updated here and I could propagate them to the server. And this really encompasses the core functionality of an FTP application. It makes it very easy for us to upload files to and download files from a remote destination. And I hope that today's section will be useful when we begin working on our final projects. At the very least, we've added a few new acronyms, SSH, FTP, and SFTP, to our repertoire. But I would hope that, since these are tools that I and others use every day when working on a website or remote machine, that they'll be just as useful for you. So when you're hosting your own website, remember that an FTP client makes it easy to add files to a server, and SSH is a great tool for viewing and editing them once they're there. I'm Ben Shryock, and this was SSH and FTP.